Our guest is one of the hosts of Believe in the Bills podcast on the Believe Podcast Network. On Twitter, use the handle at RealDanMitchell. Dan, really appreciate the time. How's life treating you back in the land of the Bills Mafia?
And hey, Steve, you know, as far as on a personal level, I'm doing just fine. As far as the game we're anticipating this coming Sunday, I'm slowly starting to feel the anxiety rise. But, you know, I'm definitely excited to see what the Bills Mafia can pull off, man.
General question, which we like to do with our first-time guests. So a little personal info, like where do you hail from, a little about your background, maybe where you went to school, and, you know, the path that led you to, you know, getting to do the Bills podcast.
For sure, for sure. So I was born in South Buffalo, lived there until I was about 13 years old, where one day my father woke up and he decided that he never wanted to shovel a driveway with snow again. So he moved me down to Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, where I have spent the rest of my life. I had a spell out in Charlotte for a while. But as far as Buffalo sports in general, I mean, so it was still instilled right in my DNA, and I've been rooting for this team and even through some of the darkest times. I mean, as far as YouTube and as far as the podcasting world goes, one day I think I was just annoying my girlfriend by how much I was talking about the Bills, so I decided to start my own show on the internet so I can have my fix, if you will. But it's been super, super cool. I'm like super thankful that I decided to do it.
So date yourself. You know, what year were you born so I could tell which era of Buffalo Bill fandom you represent?
Oh, yes. I was born in 91.
Oh, okay.
I'm 29 years old.
So, right.
So as far as the glory years are concerned, I was so young that I do not have a single memory of the Bills being a competitive team. So since McDermott ended up taking over the reins, this has been something I haven't been used to. But, you know, and so I would like to think that it's deserved. At least.
Were you old enough to comprehend, I guess it would be the 99 Stanley Cup final with the Dominator and that series against the Stars?
Yes, most definitely. I sincerely remember my father screaming at the television saying that his foot was in the crease. But as far as any other logistics from that, as far as the city of Buffalo is concerned, we have been through a lot of heartbreak, not only, you know, from the Bills, but the Sabres as well. So not many fond memories, let's put it that way.
I got you. Being from North Jersey, I also lived in Philly, now being based here. You know, I could see various characteristics, be it diehard Yankee fans, Giants fans, the insanity of Flyer fans. But the reputation of those Bills fans, I mean, we've seen some of the videos at tailgates to just sitting in that bitter weather. I mean, how would you say, what at the core is a true Bills fan?
Hey, honestly, I do want to preface this because I'm sure that once people see these videos, I'm sure a lot of them are saying, oh, this is probably just some anecdotal situations. This is just like, no, that is not the case. If anybody has not been to a Bills tailgate, I highly recommend putting that on your bucket list. It is a life-changing experience. As far as what makes a Bills fan is really just sticking with this team through thick and thin. I mean, you do need to be a little crazy, especially since these Bills fans had to realize, you know, so our team really hasn't been doing that well from the early 2000s right up until, let's say, 2014-15. So we need to make going into New Era Stadium, now Bills Stadium, a sort of an experience in and of itself. But as far as the fans are concerned of the Buffalo Bills, they are the greatest fans on the face of the planet, and I don't think anybody could convince me otherwise.
All right, I'm not even going to try. Your your pinned tweet is interesting because with Brady leaving New England, the Jets being the, you know, the laughing stock, Miami, maybe an identity issue, Buffalo looked like the AFC East favorite, and you flat out said that's what's going to happen. So what about this team back during, I guess, the late spring filled you with such confidence that they would end this New England reign of terror in the East?
Sure. So realistically, what I ended up looking at was the fact of where Josh Allen's progression was. From year one to year two, there was a significant jump. And then going into year three, the second that I saw that the Buffalo Bills were trading for Stephon Diggs, I knew for an absolute fact that that was going to completely help Josh Allen reach to as close to a ceiling as possible. Once you get a receiver like Stephon Diggs, it completely opens up the playbook. It doesn't only help Josh Allen, it also helps these other receivers such as John Brown and Cole Beasley to be able to create space. And that's exactly what happened weeks 1 through week 4. Defenses were absolutely obsessed with trying to double team Diggs and taking him out of the equation, and then John Brown and Cole Beasley absolutely had amazing games moving forward. So was really just that number one receiver and that additional weapon, somebody that can make those contested catches, somebody that can create that separation. And really the common denominator was Stephon Diggs. Weeks 1 through 4 was a perfect example. And then it, you know, seemed that right throughout the second quarter of the season, it seems like defenses are starting to figure out exactly what we have been doing. So, but yeah. And so I'm going to stand by that I really think that Diggs was the main reason why we've been able to take that next step offensively.
Talking with Dan Mitchell, Believe in Bills podcast, and we here in Eugene actually saw Josh Allen play when Wyoming took on Oregon in 2017. Nice. And while he didn't have a good day, you could see those traits of a big league quarterback. And, you know, there was improvement from his rookie year to last. And then this year, there's been some struggles. The Titans and the Chief game, but your observations, what you hear from fans, you know, those that you hear within the organization, how pleased are folks with where he stands in his development and progress season 3 as a starter?
Yeah, for sure. So, I mean, really when it comes to Josh Allen, I feel like he's always been a victim of a narrative that really hasn't gone on ahead and left him. Because right before he ended up getting drafted by the Buffalo Bills, I mean, it was the same old story. He's inaccurate. He's never going to pan out right in the NFL. And then the second that he starts making that next step, improving his accuracy, which he finally has this year, he's sitting at 65. The past couple of games really haven't been ideal. But, I mean, that's a step that Buffalo Bills fans really, really like to see. Unfortunately, you know, especially when it comes down to the mass media, specifically ones that have called and are almost seeming like they're rooting for him to actually fail. It really just seems like the second that he makes one overthrow, that's the one thing that's completely dominated throughout the media. It doesn't matter to say that he throws over for 300 yards and like hits his receivers on strides, but say that he airmails something over a receiver's head, that's going to be what's dominating the reports and how everything is gone. As far as my opinion of Josh Allen, I have been pleased thus far. One thing that sort of gets me nervous is the fact that it seems like rain and the unfavorable weather conditions seem to be his kryptonite. That's why I am super thankful that we are going to be experiencing 70-degree weather, complete clear skies, and no wind. So I'm definitely hoping that I'll be proven correct.
obviously, nothing's going to work without an offensive line. They made the move, got Darrell Williams from Carolina to play right tackle. Deion Dawkins, who's been a staple at left tackle since they drafted him. You've got Mitch Morse, Cody Ford, who are dinged up a little bit. But overall, 8 games in, I guess, what's the line, the word, I should say, on how that line has performed this year?
And hey, I mean, say for example that you were going to ask me how the offensive line was doing weeks 1 through week 7, then what I would have told you is that they're doing a fantastic job as far as pass protection. But as far as the reason why the Bills were unable to really, like, be able to pound the rock and run the football was due to one of our linemen, John Feliciano, being out with a pectoral injury. Last week, he made his debut for 2020, and it's finally, right out of nowhere, we were able to put up around 190 yards on the ground by itself. So as Bills fans, we're really hoping that that was the missing piece. And we were still able to run the rock even when Mitch Morse left the game with a concussion. So as far as pass protection, I've been very, very pleased with the fact that they've been able to protect Josh Allen to a certain extent. But I do want to see some improvements when it comes to creating those running lanes for our running backs, because say that you look at the numbers that Singletary has been putting up this year, it's almost unacceptable, especially compared to how he performed last year.
A few final thoughts for Dan Mitchell of the Believe in Bills podcast on the other side of the ball. A guy we're very familiar with out here. He was a stud with Oregon State, Jordan Poyer, who's really been kind of a mainstay since they got him before the 2017 season, actually signed him to a nice extension earlier this year. How much of a force as a kind of do-everything strong safety has he been?
And, well, honestly, I was having a conversation with a buddy of mine the other day, and I was saying that Jordan Poyer has probably earned each and every single penny that he was afforded once he ended up signing that extension. I mean, it's really funny how you really don't hear a lot between that safety duo, right between the safety duo of Poyer and Micah Hyde. I mean, they have been absolutely staples right within our secondary. I love the way he plays. And if anyone thinks that our secondary has been struggling, in general, the defense in and of itself has been struggling, but that has nothing to do with our secondary or our DBs, including Jordan Poyer. We have a lot more issues, especially when it comes to our linebacker room and defensive line being unable to create pressure for the quarterback. But as far as the execution rate as a whole, I am happy with Jordan Poyer, but I think we don't get his full capabilities until the defense is operating as a well-oiled machine, which I'm hoping that the Bills can figure it out this Sunday once we play the Seahawks.
And right in the middle, Tremaine Edmonds, who was a first-round pick in 2018, I mean, when he was at Virginia Tech, he was all that, a Butkus finalist, and he basically stepped on the field and started from day one, a Pro Bowler last year. What kind of force has he been in the middle of that Leslie Frazier defense?
Yeah, so say that you were asking me this question last year, then I would say that he is the backbone, right, of our defense by itself. But unfortunately, I mean, you just look at Edmonds this year, and he looks like a completely different player from what he was last year. And a lot of that has to do with the shoulder injury. There's a lot of rumors going around that he's still not 100%. He just doesn't look like the exact same player as he was in 2020. And don't get me wrong, definitely within 2019, he earned that Pro Bowl nod. But this year, as Bills fans, we're just really hoping that he'll be able to, like, one day he'll wake up and his shoulder is going to be 100%, because it's really sad watching how, like, you can see, like, the pain in his face when he goes and tries to make a tackle that was so routine for him last year. But, I mean, really, unfortunately, that is the case for a lot of people on the Bills defense this year. So as far as the potential, as far as what I know that Edmonds can do, I'm just hoping that he'll be able to get back to his 2019 ways.
And lastly, I mean, these two teams, probably the farthest thing from an NFL rivalry. I mean, Seattle's been around 45 years. They've only played 12 times. But it's a huge game. Division leaders, a lot on the line. I mean, you look at this Seattle offense. So I guess what's the word about that Buffalo defense trying to slow down Russell Wilson and DK Metcalf and this offense? Or is it just, do you think it's going to be like an old AFL shootout?
Hey, honestly, I have a feeling, in fact, I tweeted this a little earlier today, that I wanted everyone to expect a shootout, because that's exactly what is going to happen. Listen, as far as Bills fans understand, we know that the Seahawks offense is very, very scary. And really, at the end of the day, the best game plan going into it, say that I was the defensive coordinator, is number one, we do not have a single DB on the Bills roster that can win in a foot race right between Lockett or DK Metcalf. That is just not going to happen. Definitely expect to see a lot of zone from the Buffalo Bills defense, and I'm really trying to instill that gap integrity in taking a game plan like we did against the Kansas City Chiefs by almost inviting them to run the football, because I'm sure, because I heard that Hyde and Carson are still questionable, right?
Yeah. They've been dinged up, and they both missed last week.
Okay. Yeah, most definitely. So, I mean, say, for example, that they instilled that game plan and they just invite Seattle to run the ball, I think that we might be able to slow the bleeding, not necessarily stop it. I still see Seattle putting up a lot of points. Really, at the end of the day, say that the Bills do win this game, they are going to need to take advantage of every single possession that they have. No field goals, no mistakes, and just play a full game of mistake-free and efficient football.
Well, if you've been following Seattle, you know eventually it's going to come down to the last play, last quarter, down to the nub. Nobody gets to sleep and keep the Jack Daniels handy. But anyway, folks, he's Dan Mitchell of the Believe in Bills podcast on Twitter, at Real Dan Mitchell. Hey, great to get a chance to talk with you, Dan. Great insight, great information. I really appreciate your time. Be well and enjoy the game, and hope we can catch up again down the road.
And hey, Steve, it was a pleasure.
All right, have a good one.